How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
How was your day?
It's fine. I'm learning a bunch of like automation coding. So I've been going through an industrial program and retagging an old program that has literally hundreds of tags. It's like something like nearly 800 tags, and you have to manually go through the code and like write down what all the stupid tags do and then note the ones that don't have descriptions. It's some of the most mind-numbing work I've ever done.
Are you able to listen to podcasts while you're doing it at least?
No, but I can like listen to New Jobs and just like vibe for, you know, like 7 hours at a time.
Listen to New Jobs? Is that a
New Job Base? Are you serious? You don't know about like Modal Soul and like Spiritual State? He's a Japanese trip hop artist.
No.
You don't know New Jobs? For real? He's dead. He died.
No. I mean, I was talking to a buddy of mine recently about your music taste, and like, I'm not disparaging them.
It's lack of
like,
taste?
Well, no, I'm not disparaging them. It's just like, you're the only motherfucker I know who in middle school was like, have you heard of Jamiroquai?
And like, I mean, it's still pretty hot.
Like, while everyone else is listening to Mastodon, you're like, oh, how about we put on some Orinoco Flow?
I'm a vibes guy. I like good vibes. I like Europop trash still. Yeah. I listen to that a lot.
You listen to a lot of... You are also the only person I knew who knew a Scatman song beyond Scatman.
Yes.
Yeah,
you mean Welcome to the Scatman, which is the actual name of that song, I think.
You also had Scatman's World memorized, if I recall correctly.
It was huge in Europe. I'm not joking.
I believe it.
It's really, really big in Europe.
I really believe that.
But no, New Jobs. So you might know him. You're an anime guy, right? So you might know New Jobs from the...
I'm not an anime guy. I work
more than me.
No, I feel like you're more of an anime guy than me.
What?
I worked for an anime company and then like got to appreciate some of the lesser known mangas and anime.
Manga.
If you recall, you were really into anime in high school and I was not.
I was.
Yeah. No, you are the anime king.
It was a different age.
We are talking about anime today, though, on a recommendation from me. But we have a lot of things to talk about today.
So do you remember Samurai Champloo is on Adult Swim?
Yeah.
So he did the OST for that. So if you remember Samurai Champloo, that's like kind of hip hoppy Japanese beats. So somebody, if this stays in, some of our listeners are going to know New Jobs. They're going to be like, what the fuck, Connor? How does he not know that? It's so good.
I didn't watch anime in high school or college. Like, my favorite anime is Legend of Galactic Heroes. I'm gesturing to the
classic.
Yeah, I love it.
Very good.
I like anime where people are getting into a robot suit or a spaceship and fighting a war that is bigger than them. And they're just nothing.
This is what anime used to be. This is what they took from us, brother.
Yeah. Give me that Pat Labor. Ooh, give me that Pat Labor too.
It's all slice of life now. It's all these isekais. I can't stand it. Actually, I mean, in vain of what we're going to talk about for a little bit, at least, I've been hearing from like weebs that I know, people that still regularly watch like multiple seasons of shows, you know, as they come out from Japan, right? Everybody's complaining that anime sucks ass now and that everything's generic. And
I thought we were having an anime renaissance.
I see. I don't know. I don't actually. I'm telling you, I'm not an anime guy. I don't watch any anime. So when people are like, everything's bad, I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, have you told them about the anime that we're talking about today?
I have not mentioned this to anybody. No.
Okay. How do we want to do this? Because we have a few things that we wanted to touch on.
We can wait on it if you want.
All right.
There's lots of news going on.
Yeah. Stay tuned, listeners. We've got a few things to talk about first and foremost up top. We got some housekeeping. Mm-hmm. Before we do, we want to start with my Vegas story or do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Connor, Viva Las Vegas. Connor's just back from the city of lights. I don't know. City of gambling and debauchery.
Well, I like to call it Sin City personally.
There you go. That's
I don't know if anyone else does that. I call it Sin City as well as the city that never sleeps.
I think you made that up. You came up with that.
Yep. That is a Connor original. No, I went out there for work for the big old NAB conference. Pretty fun, I guess. Like, I fucking hate Vegas. The last time I was there was for your bachelor party.
And what does NAB stand for?
National Association of Broadcasters.
But
there was a different the conference was split into two. So you had the NAB and then you had the BEA, the Broadcasting Educators Association.
Nerds. We hate them.
I was way more into the BEA stuff than the NAB. Because when I went to the NAB, they're like, yeah, we're a cloud storage company that I'm not even going to pretend to get into the techno babble I heard. Or I was just like, is it better than OneDrive? And anytime I ask that, people are like, I don't even know if I have the time to tell you how much better we are than OneDrive. I was like, oh, great.
Step aside, citizen.
Yeah. And I'm like,
okay, brother, whatever.
It just reminded me, like, oh, yeah, I used to hire somebody to go to these things for me and, like, just bring it back in English, egghead. But BEA was really, really interesting. That's the more, like, theoretical educational aspect of working in media and broadcasting. And I got to meet some people who are researching Angel Studios in a way. They wrote a paper and got an award for it on their research on The Chosen, which is no longer on Angel Studios, but at the time of their starting this paper, it was on Angel Studios.
Mm.
So they were talking about it, and then at the end of the and I'll save some of that for if we ever do an episode of The Chosen, which I started watching it. I think we will, because it's frustrating how good that show is.
Yeah. I mean, frustrating. I don't know. It's a Christian show that with like historical elements and
a big old budget.
I've seen a bunch of clips, and they make, you know, the Romans look like Romans, and it's, you know, it's incredibly, I think it's fairly well written for what it is. I
mean, it is very well written. It is very well produced. It is very well researched. And what people don't know is it's woke. It's got DEI in it.
Oh no, not
yeah,
woke.
Yeah, Connor. Yeah. You know, Matthew,
I thought we were all done with that stuff.
Well, here's the thing. Did you know Mary Magdalene, how she has her demons? Well, in the show, the demons are alcoholism she sustained due to trauma as a child. And you know Matthew, one of Jesus's disciples.
I think I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he actually has autism. He's on the spectrum. Oh.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, it was something I couldn't. The researcher was saying, like, this is actually a show bringing real issues to the forefront. I'm like, no, this is just the DEI/wokeism that works for you, and you don't like it for anyone else.
I mean, that's how everything works, isn't it? Yeah. Right? Like, yeah, it's actually bringing. While we're telling this nice story, we're bringing attention to things that we care about, and it's like, okay.
Which I shouldn't even phrase it like that, because the researcher did really, really good work. She and I had talked about possibly co-authoring a paper down the line.
Wow.
Like, I was making some connections there, and because I asked the question, I was like, hey, I'm also researching Angel Studios. Do you have any suggestions for where I can find like articles that aren't just news articles about Angel Studios? And everyone in the room was like, yeah, nothing being written about these guys. So.
Yeah, that's funny, because like it's got to be somebody else's kind of. I mean, I don't know. These people sound like they're actual academics, unlike me, right? Or you're hesitating. It looks like.
Well, it's interesting. So you have academic Christians, and then you have Christian academics, right? And a Christian academic, this is all semantics, and it's probably there are people rolling their fucking eyes out of their head. But I would say a Christian academic is an academic that looks at Christianity and its influences through a critical lens. Academic Christians are people that reveal their bias through their research. And I'll just say this.
Read the Bible a lot.
Yeah, this paper was like. The researcher straight up says, like, oh, yeah, The Chosen is about the life and times of Jesus Christ. Like, you should have said Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus of Galilee, but you didn't.
Oh, interesting. So you'd make that differentiation?
I would, personally. I'm not saying that I know what the final say-so should be on this kind of thing. But having studied under biblical scholars, I'll say, biblical scholars and theologians, very different thing. But having studied under biblical scholars, I would be like, yeah, I would have. If you say Jesus Christ, you're pretty much revealing like, yeah, I believe he's the Messiah, which whatever. We all have our biases. You can reveal it in your academia. I don't really give a shit about that. But the really interesting part about this is after I started hobnobbing, rubbing elbows and shaking hands, I got asked to basically someone gave me their card. Was like, we should talk more if you're looking into like PhD options, man. And I got really excited.
Awesome.
They knew about Angel Studios' earlier business, which you can hear about in our first Angel Studios episode, where they would, you know, edit out. I think it was called Angel Video or something.
Yeah,
but they would clean up non-family friendly media and make it more family friendly. Highly
Vid Angel.
Yeah. I never want to take a guess because there are some adult websites with similar names, and I don't want to reveal myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, this person handed me their card, and I looked down, and I saw Liberty University.
Oh, damn it!
So
damned again.
I may sell out.
Yeah, I mean, look, anybody listening to this podcast is a person who knows Connor, and we're all going to say unabashedly that you should.
Yeah, I'm going to go
believe in you. We want you to do great things. Absolutely sell out. Quit the podcast.
I'm going to get a PhD at Liberty University, and I'm getting a great scholarship. All I have to do is watch Jerry Falwell Jr. fuck his wife, and then they'll give me more money.
It might be nice. You never know.
Or he has to watch me fuck his wife.
Jesus. You know,
never forget. That's what he got in trouble for.
Yeah. For having a good time, for having a damn good time.
Yeah. Who cares?
You can't do anything in this country anymore.
What is it with this country where you can't watch someone sleep with your wife while you're systematically bringing an end to like gay rights and women's rights in this country? What happened? Yeah. We need people like Gary Koopa in this world.
Gary Koopa. You turn into Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
Where's Gary Koopa?
Everybody,
where'd he go?
This is pissing me off. This is making me sad. Why don't you shut up already? Why don't you just watch me while I fuck my wife?
Yeah. Nice.
Anyway.
So your disappointment aside.
It was a little bit of an ego boost, but it was definitely like getting asked out by the ugliest nerd in school. Like, oh, man. Well, technically, I have a date to the Sadie Hawkins dance, but it's not the one I wanted.
Yeah. Many such cases, y'all. Many such cases.
Who knows? I mean, I've known people that went to, like, Oral Roberts University and, like, wrote critically. And same with Mary Harden. I got a full, very nice scholarship to Mary Harden Baylor that I turned down. But I told him, like, look, I don't believe in this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, whatever.
And look, y'all, Steph Curry went to, where is it?
Liberty?
Liberty. Yeah.
Steph Curry went to Liberty University?
Yes. Google it.
For basketball?
It
had to have been.
I guess.
Well, maybe he's a Christian. I don't know.
He's the best thing that ever happened to their basketball team.
I'm not going to pretend to know. There were a lot of Liberty University people there. There's something alarming about an uptick in Liberty University people being at a broadcasting conference. Anyway, just keep an eye out on the internet and broadcasting channels to see like if something's happening.
If something's happening, if something's changed in the ecosystem that allows these people to be hired more so than they used to be.
Yeah.
Right.
But I will say the big takeaway that I got from this is that I am now a part of a very small, albeit growing, community of scholars that are looking into Angel Studios and the content. I do think out of everyone in that room, I was the most critical, but that's okay.
How awesome would it be if, like Jerry Falwell Jr., they were also a group of swingers?
Well, that explains why they gave me this pineapple.
pineapples all over your bag.
Yeah, that's the
stickers
deep cut
shit everywhere.
I am not.
It's a secret symbol of our club of people who are investigating Angel Studios.
Yeah.
And by investigating, I mean occasionally watching some of the movies they put out, which is basically what we do here sometimes.
Right. And we've got a show that we're going to be talking about. in a little bit. But for now, Alec, why don't you fill us in what's going on in the news that's driving you
okay
crazy?
So, I mean, anybody that listens to this show and anybody that hopefully doesn't live under a rock, which is, you know, some of you at least, you've heard of the Trump tariffs, and everything was very bad for a little bit. And the nightmare is over, folks, because today there was an announcement that Trump is rescinding the insane tariffs that were put on basically every country that has a domain name, because they use ChatGPT to figure out what the tariff rates were going to be. So all of the tariffs are paused except for the ones on China, which have been doubled to 125% or something like that. And they've responded by tariffing U.S. goods to like 83 or something. So while the stock market's doing great, do not look forward to buying anything from China, because, I guess we're about to find out how many things come from China, because it was always one of those questions, right? Like, what if the United States and the Chinese economy decoupled? Well, I mean, pending, developments, and they're going to have to be developments pretty soon, something of that sort is coming.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I was looking at Temu, and furniture there is now up to $8. So,
God damn it.
Things are getting really rough.
just all made of, like, plaster. It's just, you get the box, and it's just powder in there.
Yeah, I got a powder chair. I just need to add water and pour it into the chair mold.
Very clever. That's like those old what is it? It was like concrete or like cement furniture back from like the 70s.
Oh yeah.
That was a thing for a little bit.
What's been really funny about the tariff stuff is that two prominent billionaire backers of Trump, Bill Ackman and Elon Musk, both apparently melted down over the weekend. And Bill Ackman came out publicly, where I think I'm not going to repeat what Elon Musk said about Peter Navarro. But it's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. It's incredibly childish, which makes it even more funny.
Yeah. But Bill Ackman is likely the rumored person that anonymously said that we're going through a tailspin. There's no way out of it, because he did make a very long tweet. The very, very long tweet about the impact this will have. Trump removes the tariffs. And then today, all Bill Ackman has to say is, it was the art of the deal the whole time.
Got him, dude.
Don't fucking try to pretend that you had confidence in this man while, like, the bond market was plummeting. Like, come on now.
Well, I mean, it's a wild roller coaster ride living in America, and living anywhere, really, because everybody's affected by this, because they tariffed literally everyone,
including an island whose only inhabitants are penguins.
Yes, yes.
Which famously. Some people got really upset about. It was like, obviously, this is they did a bad job with this if they're putting tariffs on an island where nobody lives but penguins. And then I thought, why are there a country where the only people on it are penguins? And it's a tax haven.
I think it's a protectorate. It's just a territory of Great Britain, of the United Kingdom. Right. But the problem is that they have their own domain name. So I'm shitting you not. Right. Like, the closest we can figure, they literally did use ChatGPT to like generate the list of countries to tariff. Gotcha. And that only recognizes countries, apparently, first and foremost, by domain name. So it separated out all of these like territories. And they're like, throw up 10% on those motherfuckers. Never heard of them, but throw up 10% on them.
So it's that island, that territory is not used for any kind of skirting international trading laws or taxes.
Maybe. I can't vouch for that. Okay. If you want to invest in St. Vincent and the Grenadines or whatever. No, I think that's a real populated island. Never mind.
Because I don't
what Penguin Island's called.
I don't want to come outside one day and see a bunch of penguins running out from underneath the hood of my car, and then it like explodes like the fucking Panama like Papers.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you mean the time that happened in real life? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
I rewatched Casino. Casino's so fucking good, man.
Casino's great. I was talking to a buddy, two friends of mine last night, and I said that
Totino's pizza rolls. Yes,
I said Casino is better than Goodfellas, and I really, really, like Goodfellas. So,
Goodfellas is great.
Yeah, but
sorry.
Casino's better.
Casino's better.
If you get a chance to watch it on film, it's beautiful.
Oh, you and your film. I'm so jealous. Every time Connor's like, oh, dude, you haven't seen it till you've seen it in an art house theater in a major metropolitan city. I'm like, fuck, Fuck, man. Fuck.
Those are all gone. We revived our art house theater, but it's still like an HDMI cord and a projector. So.
Oh, really? Angelica?
No, River Oaks Theater.
Whatever.
And the Angelica is now AMC 8. And one time I went there, and there are 8 screens, and Wonder Woman was playing on 6 of them.
I thought you were going to say, like, somebody pooped on the floor.
I did that in protest of all the other
that was me, actually. Yeah, you just saw that article.
Yeah.
They didn't use a flattering picture of me.
So, yeah, the tariffs are now gone.
Except for China, the most important country that was on the list. China.
But, yeah, it's like, you know, I sent you some tweets of people rightly calling this market manipulation, because like an hour before Trump made the announcement, he's like, buy now. Now's a great time to buy in the stock market.
On what was it? On Truth Social. He's like, now's a great time to buy, dash DJT. Mm-hmm. And then literally like an hour and a half later, they put a pause on the tariffs and the markets go insane.
Yeah. It's pretty blatant what's happening. That's why you should listen to Propagandos, because at the very least we can tell you, like, this was not the plan. It was very chaotic. And no matter what Bill Ackman tells you, he never had confidence in Trump.
Oh, I mean, clearly, I don't know. Anybody who's like doing the cope of like, four-dimensional chess or art of the deal, I mean, they're not paying attention. Trump's been walked off this ledge, but he clearly believed it, right? The way you know he believes it is he said it for more than a couple days with people screaming and yelling at him on the phone.
Yeah. And
that's the only indicator.
He posted twice on Truth Social, reposted. He reposted and deleted and reposted it again, a video that was saying Trump is intentionally tanking the world economy. And so, like, was he really doing it? Was he saying it to trigger the libs? Did he even remember posting this? Who knows?
I think he watched that video and then he's like, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing. I've got a new plan. Actually, I've got a new plan.
Wow.
Many people are saying it. They're saying it all over. But yeah, it's a wild ride. Everybody buckle up, because this is most certainly not the last stupid thing that's going to happen in the next 3.5 years.
I want to get off Mr. Trump's wild ride.
I wrote it the first time and I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to have the United States turn into like an open prison for all of us. Just people going insane. You know, the solitary confinement of your basement while you post. Everything's getting more and more normal every day.
Oh yeah.
We got
some other news to talk about. This is kind of old news, but it's relevant to us and what we're talking about today. But Alec, what's your favorite Studio Ghibli movie? Ghibli?
Giblets? Giblets. Pork and Giblets.
Yeah. What's your favorite? You like that Porco Giblet movie?
I like a lot of them. I'm not super huge on like My Friend Totoro or whatever, but I've seen I think all of them, and I think I'd rank like Princess Mononoke in like my top 5 favorite films.
Ooh,
right. Wow. It's just it's one of those I can watch over and over. It's very kind of heartfelt. It's an interesting world. You don't mind them, do you?
I think they're all pretty boring. I fall asleep.
You're kinda late.
I've fallen asleep in many a Miyazaki film, but Spirited Away is in my top movies of all time. I really like Ponyo. I think Ponyo is really cool. Porco Rosso is fun. But yeah, man, like Nausicaa.
I don't like Nausicaa. More fun to read.
I'll say that.
Castle in the Sky. Boo. Boo. Ugh. It's like when you've seen the new ones and then you go back to the really old, slow Miyazakis, you're like, oh my God, is this dragging?
Yeah.
Still got a bunch of good scenes, but
great
scenes. The drag.
Beautiful hand drawn animation. But when Miyazaki is like, I never come in with a script. I just kind of draw and the story develops. Like, oh, yeah.
We can tell. Miyazaki's great for like, he's like the matte painting master. There's like matte paintings in like, anytime anybody's not in a room, and even sometimes when they are, there's like gorgeous backgrounds, right? He's so good at it. Even like floors and carpets. There's just lots of, the attention to detail is really insane. And as a fan of animation for basically my entire life, like it's some of the best ever made. I mean, it's almost like second to none.
It's incredible. It's incredible work. It's beloved by millions across time and space here on planet Earth. And it's beloved so much that everybody's trying to emulate it. Everybody yeah. wants to draw things in Ghibli style. Move over, Simpsonify me. Now make a Studio Ghibli version of me. And Alec, well, why don't you tear off a little something for our listeners? What's going on?
So in an effort to like pump like market stock and get back in like the good graces of investors and shit, Sam Altman, the fucking OpenAI guy, like a couple weeks ago was like, hey, we got a great new thing over here at fucking OpenAI. Now you can make Ghibli versions of images. Right. And so over the course of several days, we were just like inundated with basically every like visual meme. Right. Turned into like a Ghibli thing. And then like, I don't know if you saw the like, there's like a 2-minute compilation with something like 1,000 images, right? They just like flash in front of you in a Ghibli style. Mm-hmm. And I guess like the interesting thing about that is like, if you've been on the internet for a while, you can recognize a bunch of them. But like people were talking about it like it's art, right? Like this is like, you know, I mean, it's kind of cool, I guess, in the way that all AI stuff is like kind of cool the first time you see it. But it's literally just like, take this thing and draw it in this style, and that's it, right? It's literally just pattern recognition. Yeah. So for that series of events, right, that like day and a half where that was going on, I was kind of like, this is kind of lame, right? Mm-hmm. And then there is something about like bastardizing Ghibli's, you know, vision and art and like style, right, to just like totally memeify, to just like take all of the essence out of and turn it into just kind of a slop filter for, you know, for memes and like known images. But then the White House post came, like literally the verified account on Twitter for the White House, which was like a Ghibli version of an ICE agent, like taking away, you know, some kind of brown cartoon lady who's crying with like a hairnet on her head. And it was just, oh man, it was really dark. Like, yeah, to be honest, like all of the tariff stuff, is like frightening, right? Like, let's not get this wrong, right? We're all part of an economy and we will suffer, right? Like monetarily for all this, but it's not it's not like deeply spiritually insulting to me. Right. But this one definitely is. And I thought about it so much that like I kept talking to Connor and he's like, why don't you talk about it on the show a little bit? Yeah. So like the thing about it that I like finally came to, I thought again for like days and I was like, what about this is so fucking offensive? And it's like, one, the fact that the fact that it is AI, right? The fact that like Miyazaki himself is this kind of you know, he's not the only guy that works on these movies, obviously, as a team, but he always has like a singular vision for his films and everything's intentional. Right. Yeah. And it's original in a way that is really like lacking nowadays, even, you know, back then. I mean, there are a few kind of production companies like Ghibli that can churn out very original ideas and concepts and worlds. Right. So the AI-fication of it is bothersome. And then using the AI in that way, right, is very intentional, right? And I know back from like posting on 4chan, right, and like trolling in a different part of my life when I was kind of a different person, right, that there are ways that you can get at people, right, that you feel intrinsically are going to like hurt them and piss them off, right? Mm-hmm. Even without really fundamentally understanding why that is, right? What it is that you're getting at about them when you just got somebody so good and you're going to fucking troll them. And this is their version of that, right? This image is like deeply offensive because it's a combination of those two things. One thing, which is like, I'm parading around like performative cruelty in front of people in a way that showcases your power, which is like if they just posted like an ICE officer arresting, you know, a lady or like dragging her off and she's crying, that would be like performatively cruel, right? In a way that those people I think enjoy, right? That they know they're getting to you and hurting you. And then to do it in this like infantilized cartoon like version of itself, right? It's in a style of something that I assume these people approximate that a lot of people they don't like do enjoy, that they might themselves enjoy, right? Is a kind of like internet irony, like brain poisoning that's just deeply like offensive. To take this thing that is, in my opinion, right, in the opinions of a lot of other people, because lots of people like Studio Ghibli, like very pure and has like a certain innocence not naivete, but like earnestness about it, and to subvert that and turn it on its head and make it both ironic and cruel, right, is really fucking grotesque, man. It's really gross. And like, and the other thing about it is like making it a cartoon and infantilizing it, right, kind of makes it silly and like an attempt at humor, right? Like it's like this is a cartoon, and it's not that it's not real, right? But transforming it into a cartoon also presents it as like fundamentally a joke, right? So on like all these axes, it's just it's a really bad post, Connor. I really don't like it. I've been thinking a lot. Every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I'm just like, I'm really viscerally disgusted.
It's a pretty disgusting post. It's also like, I don't know. You show that to a kid, a little kid with no context of like who the president is or what the meta politics of it all is. And they're going to immediately point out who the bad guy is. And the bad guy is wearing an ice hat. And the crying woman is the victim in all this, which is true. You know, it's pretty disgusting. But here is something to give some context to that photo, that this is another ulterior motive, in my opinion, of the people who generated and posted this meme. So it is based on a real photo of a woman named Virginia Basora Gonzalez. She's a 36-year-old citizen of the Dominican Republic. And in 2019, she was deported from the United States of America after being convicted and admitting to fentanyl distribution. They charged her with attempted possession with intent to distribute 40 grams or more of fentanyl. She pled guilty. She was sentenced in March 2020, and she was deported in October 2020 back to the Dominican Republic. So then she comes back into America, and she's found in Philadelphia by ICE, and she's deported. They get the picture. So they captured this picture of Virginia Basora Gonzalez getting arrested, and then they memeify it. And if you get mad at the White House for generating this Ghibli style art and what obviously looks like, you know, a woman being victimized by ICE. And like, if you have no I have a friend who had no context for the original photo and was like, are they arresting like a cafeteria worker? What the fuck is going on in this photo? This is so weird. And that's the thing, is they want you to be confused and accuse them of being, you know, bad people by making this, so that they can turn around and say, actually, this is based on a real photo of a woman who admitted to distributing fentanyl in America. Don't you remember the fentanyl crisis? Are you defending someone who's distributing fentanyl? Are you defending someone who we deported and then came back to possibly distribute more fentanyl? Are you the bad guy? I didn't ask for this. Did you? Like, that is what they want. It's all a trick. It's all a game to get you to not only get upset, but to look like a dumbass if you say anything about it.
It's a gotcha, right? It's a gotcha. If you take offense to this thing that looks pretty like nakedly racist, right? You're like, well, actually, this is a representation of a very bad lady who's a convicted felon for, you know, drug trafficking or whatever. And it's like, Yeah, the image is still fucked up and racist to post. Like, it's still fucked up, just in a different way, right?
Yes.
And by the way, right, that intentionality, I think, is like why pick her, right? Like, she's the perfect lady for the right wing to pick. If you've seen like pictures of this real lady, she was like weeping whenever she was arrested the second time. So her face is contorted, right?
Yeah.
She's like heavy, and she's in sweatpants, right? Like, there's a All the fucking Greek statue avatar guys, right? Everybody that uses the word aesthetic.
You know, she's wearing a hairnet in both the Ghibli image and the original photo, because ICE caught her while she was working in the back of a restaurant in North Philadelphia. She worked as a cook when she came back to America. And one thing that like we have to acknowledge is, she was arrested and deported under the first Trump administration, not exactly known for being like patient and kind to migrants. Like, I do not have any court documents. I was not in the room when it happened. I am skeptical of like the whole narrative that they're presenting from down to her first conviction. Did she straight up admit, like, you got me, I got fentanyl? Like, I we have no way of knowing this stuff right now.
People get coerced into all kinds of shit. I don't believe anything. I mean, if somebody, if somebody's like, you know, if somebody takes a fucking plea deal, right? People do this all the time. Then they're fucking, you know, they're convicted. You know, it doesn't matter. You don't get to see what a fucking evidence the cops have of what crime you committed before, you know, you sign a plea deal. So I don't believe anything. Right. Nobody that has any, I think, serious interaction with like the justice system should. Right. Mm-hmm. Or has like read any analyses of it. So you pick this lady. Right. She's aesthetically displeasing to the kind of like MAGA chuds that are going to like laugh at this. Right. Who want to be performatively cruel. And then, you know what? If that didn't get your goat, if that didn't fucking get you hard enough, turn it up to 11. Make her a fucking cartoon.
Exactly.
Right? Dude, make this like turn this into like a literal joke from like The Simpsons. Right. In the alternative universe where you fucking wrote it.
And to your point, Alec, I do want to point out, because I think it's wildly fucking relevant to the argument that you and I are making here, is that Basura Gonzalez pled guilty. And after she pled guilty, she was sentenced to 12 months, one day in prison, and followed by 4 years of supervised release. So she took a plea deal probably to escape getting deported. And then they deported her anyway. And just
Months. Yeah. I mean, look, this is the plight of being undocumented in the United States.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You make a deal, get fucked anyway.
Yeah. So let's bring it back to the GBR. Do you have anything more to say on that?
No. I mean, it sucks. I hate it. I would use it as the fucking episode art, but I don't really want to ever look at it again.
Right? Yeah. It's really fucking,
it's really disgusting. Every time I see it, I'm like, I've already said it. It's just.
Ugh. Yeah. It's really it's disgusting from the get-go, and the more I read into it, the more disgusting it becomes, the more upsetting it becomes. And get ready, because this is what, we're not even 100 days in, and they're already, like, memeing their way into our, like, hearts and minds in the, like, most disgusting way possible. So it's going to keep happening. Get ready.
Yeah, hey, mission accomplished. You fucking, I'm offended.
Yeah, you ruined my day 2 weeks ago. What ruined my day this week, though, is the show that we're talking about. We're keeping it in the anime realm. We're going to talk about, real quick, breaking news. Trump Media TV streaming apps are now available in Canada and Mexico. They did it.
Fuck yes.
They did it.
Finally.
The Iron Dawn is always 8 steps ahead.
Rescind all tariffs on Canada and Mexico.
Yeah. Now that they are allowing Truth Plus, the...
Is there content on there?
Yeah, there is. There is.
Oh, boy.
It's not original content at this time. It's all just like Ancient Aliens and Thank You, Dr. Fauci, the like documentary about Dr. Fauci creating.
We probably should watch that, by the way.
We should. I'm a little nervous. Anytime somebody, a listener has requested that we do that. And I'm going to tell y'all listeners a little something, a little behind the scenes. We vet some of the stuff we watch, because sometimes we look at something and we're like, is this going to make us crazy? And we don't watch it.
Nah. It's not going to make me that much crazier, whatever it is. Oh, speaking of stuff we should watch, Tucker has a 2-hour interview with Alex Jones that maybe I'll be listening to while I'm driving or something.
Another one?
You know if there's any another one. Yeah. I'm back on.
Hell yeah. Alex Jones is looking good. I don't know what he's doing. Hey, maybe he is on a semaglutide or something.
Yeah, he's got to be on something.
There's no way he's getting that thin eating nothing but sausage.
Like, it's crazy that they invented something that like just has unfattened all Americans above a certain income. Like it's really wild. Like the American disease of just being kind of heavy has been virtually eliminated within like a year.
Well, hang on a second now, Alec. As a diabetic American, I think I need to speak up for what's going on here. So you do have your name brand, your Mounjaro, Ozempic, Wegovy, and these all come in like plastic tubes that inject themselves and, you know, they're disposable. I have a Mounjaro as a diabetic, and so I have to like do this. However, if you don't have insurance that covers all these things, then you need to find something like Zepbound or some other GLP-1, some generic semaglutide. You can buy a compounded thing, but you have to, you get a little jar of this compound as well as like 15 syringes, and you have to draw your dose and inject it yourself. And that cuts your cost by thousands of dollars.
I don't like needles, folks. They're really yucky.
Yeah. I'm happy with my Mounjaro that once a week I sit on the toilet, grab a little piece of stomach flap and just like chunk it in. And then I get really nauseous and need to lay down or I'm going to throw up.
Jesus. Yeah. Hey, I mean, it's better than fucking having your foot fall off or whatever.
Do you have a preferred semiglutide? Let us know in the Discord.
I don't know what half this shit is, man. I know people are taking Ozempic to look skinny, and I know that they were for a while stealing it from diabetic people to
That's
do
right.
it.
That's right. It was something. It was my personal struggle that I was going through.
That's so funny.
Watching celebrities take all my medicine. But yeah, sound off in the Discord. Use the hashtag GLPFun for the one that you prefer to inject in yourself. And yeah, let's just keep it going. Very nice. Baby. We want to connect with the fans. We have some new fans in the Discord. We've been having fun chit-chatting with them.
They listened to me when I said join the Discord. A bunch of people actually did. And I'm like, okay, that's too many people.
Two new
that's
members.
Too many posts in here.
I can't keep track of y'all. My phone's blowing up. Two notifications a week. Throwing your phone through the window.
I am scrolling through. So have we lost the war with Russia? This is from the Tucker Alex Jones interview. It really is over 2 hours long. Why Obama secretly labeled Alex Jones a national security threat. I will be listening to this.
That's
I got to know what he's saying.
Do you think he really did? Or do you think Alex Jones
is convinced? Maybe. I fucking know. I mean,
maybe
I don't know.
Maybe next week.
Knows, man?
Maybe next week we should talk about it. Because don't forget, there was that one InfoWars reporter who ended up dead. And Alex Jones is convinced that the deep state killed him.
How'd he die? I don't know about this.
Yeah, an InfoWars reporter was found dead in Austin, Texas.
Huh.
Some penguins blew up his car or something.
It's okay.
I have no idea.
Let me Google this real quick.
All right.
InfoWars reporter shot dead after interrupting burglars? Is this the one? Oh, killed outside of his home. After interrupting burglars, suspect at large. Well, that's Austin for you.
Yeah. Elon wasn't happy with, ruining San Francisco. He brought it all to Austin.
I mean, for real. I've heard quite a few people complaining that, like, Austin's, you know, it's full of annoying, like, Elon and Rogan fan, like, podcast bros and shit.
It's like, now.
That does sound fucking annoying.
It's different. There's not still that little pockets of coolness, but yeah, it's pretty annoying now.
Not that any Texas city is devoid of, you know, I guess Republicans or.
Oh, like, yeah. Houston.
I mean, come on.
Anybody who wants to say like Houston's this liberal haven. I mean, Obama won by 2 votes in 2012. Yeah,
go fuck yourself.
Okay, let's get to the show that we're clearly not wanting to talk about. We're 45 minutes in, and our listeners are like, when are they going to get to the fireworks factory?
I don't think anybody's waiting for the. So Connor messaged me, and he's like, hey, there's another new Angel Studios show. And, of course, we have an Angel Studios subscription, so we have to watch it all.
That's right.
The early parts of the show were premised on us watching Angel Studios products.
We were originally going to be an Angel Studios podcast.
Which I thank God we didn't do that, because there's literally not enough of it to like talk about.
That's right. They're in trouble these days. They're having
but
some
speaking about
production
speaking about
issues
about Studio Ghibli and anime. This is not, I don't think, an AI project.
It is not.
It's long been the case ever since, if you've been wondering, like, what the fuck does Netflix know about anime back when they started coming out with their own random, like, original studios presents. We talked to somebody at licensing at, you know, who owns Castlevania? Like,
Netflix does that. Oh, Konami.
Konami. Because they must have talked to somebody at Steam, because they also made like a Dota anime that I watched like a season of, which was like fine, right? But these places are basically, they must have a writing staff. Connor told me all this because he's an actual, you know, person connected to media in some way. They have a writing staff.
Work at anime.
And you can write one and you storyboard it and you send it to like, you know, professional studio in Korea and they'll make you, they'll animate you an anime, right? Well, I don't know. Angel Studios got hooked up with the one. If you notice like a similarity between this, the program that we're about to talk about, and the product that we're talking about, and like Avatar: The Last Airbender or Castlevania or The Boondocks, right? It shares. You're like, oh, this line work. It feels like I've seen it kind of before. It's because the same studio made it, right? Mm-hmm.
So the show that we're talking about today is Angel Studios' foray into anime. It is Gabriel and the Guardians, an original piece of shit from them.
It's a project.
It's a project, an original project. There are two bits of media that exist for Gabriel and the Guardians. There is a 32-page prequel issue of a manga that kind of tells you like what happened before the show started. And then there is only one episode, because Angel Studios yet again did what they always do, which is we make our shows one episode at a time and then fundraise off of it. It is the dumbest way to produce a television show.
Well, I mean, isn't that like a, it's just interesting that they don't call it a pilot, right? Like, this is clearly an attempt to get people to invest, as with other movies, right? This is, by the way, an investment opportunity for you, listener, accredited investor with $10,000 or more in investment capital. Mm-hmm. You can invest in, I guess, royalty futures for Gabriel and the Guardians if you want to. But critically, it's also being just hosted on their like streaming website, right? Yeah. We're, you know, one of the 100 people that have a fucking streaming subscription. And it looks like they have like a whole season of the show until you go to episode 2 and they're like, hey, here's an investment pitch. Seems like you liked episode 1 enough to look at this, right?
It's the same thing with Homestead. Like, look, you say, like, why don't they just call it a pilot? A pilot is produced. It's given a very small budget. You try to do as much as you can with a little. You make the pilot, you produce it, you send it back to the studio that gave you the money to make it, and they will green light it. And they'll say, all right, we're going to give you one season. Sometimes it's 6 episodes, sometimes it's 12, sometimes it's a full 22 episode. Usually not. Usually your first season is like pretty reduced to see if you can pull it off. And then if you can pull it off, then they give you funding for another season and so on and so forth. It is not done this way. And while Angel Studios may think Hollywood's, you know, becoming a rotted core or a rotted corpse of what it used to be, we're shaking things up, I think they're finding out really fucking quick, oh, there's a reason why Hollywood does things this way and has done it this way for nearly 100 fucking years.
It's clear to me that like one of the reasons why Angel Studios is interesting at all, right, is it's such like a bizarre new take on how to fundraise. It almost feels like it is quite literally like taking like a VC funding model, which by the way has been utterly eviscerated in places like Silicon Valley where it used to thrive, right, and like applying it to a media company. But then you're not pitching, ironically, you're not really pitching angel investors and VCs. Or if they did, they already have done that and they've been turned down, right? They're crowdsourcing this. They're crowdfunding this, again, in a way that's much more legal, right, than maybe the way that people do it on Kickstarter, right? Where they like end up, raising $2 million and basically, you know, they're incompetent and they can't return on a product. Angel Studios is trying to put up some capital to at least make this somewhat competent pilot, I guess, and then pitch it to the people that are like already subscribed to their subscription model. It's just weird though, because it feels like vaporware in a way, you know?
I'm really hoping we can find an entertainment finance specialist to come on this show and break it down, because so far every time we talk about Angel Studios' funding model for their episodes, I'm like, that's the plot of The Producers. They're like, they're making
really
more
is.
Money with a flop than a hit. Like, that's what's going on right now. And I could be wrong. I mean, I there it seems like it seems that the Harmon brothers, the family behind Angel Vid as well as Angel Studios, they fancy themselves as, you know, disruptors of the industry, or they're just like trying out whatever they think works and then finding out the hard way, oh, this is illegal. However, Angel Studios is also tied up in a lawsuit with a company that created the Young David series, because Angel Studios removed that company's Slingshot Productions. So Young David was made by this company named Slingshot Productions, and Angel Studios was going to distribute it. And in all their promotional material, Slingshot Productions is nowhere seen on it. And so Angel Studios is getting sued for breach of contract on making it look like it's an original production of theirs. Angel Studios is not good at production. I'm sorry, but they're not. Distribution is they're killing it. They made a really smart move of acquiring a Tony Hale, Darcy Carden film called Sketch. That's about their kids' doodles coming to life. And it looks like a smart move for them, a smart business move. In terms of media production, Alec, I was telling you about a short film that I was a cast in and helped make with a buddy of mine. And the people, the director and writer of the movie, the short film, they would set up the camera and they would film me saying a line. Then they'd break the camera down, move it onto the other person in the scene, have them say the line, then break the camera down, move it back to me. I know. And me and a buddy, and it was their first movie, so we weren't getting mad at them. But me and a buddy were like, hey, it would go a lot faster if we shot the entire scene and then we moved the camera and shot the entire scene from a different angle and you just edit it from there. And I think they didn't really have like editing chops, and that's why they had to do it this way. I'm not 100%.
They've never edited a movie before, so it didn't make sense to them yet.
Of course, right? Yeah. And Angel Studios is learning the hard way, like, oh, this is not how you make movie. This is not how you make television. Because fucking, dude, just go on the Angel Studios streaming Reddit and you'll see people be like, where is Homestead episode 3? Where is it?
Yeah. We're one of dozens of people that are awaiting that new episode of Homestead.
Yeah. As y'all know, I will vigorously devour that series, or shamelessly devour.
Yeah, shamelessly
series.
Devour. Yeah, yeah. As quoted on the internet poster on Facebook, on their main post for the Homestead movie. God, that's so funny that happened.
Well, I want Angel Studios to succeed. There, I said it, for many reasons. One of which being, like, it's a content generator for me too. Like, we got this.
Yeah,
podcast.
we like watching this stuff, and we like talking about them.
We like talking about it. Let's talk a little bit about Gabriel and the Guardians. It is inspired by the Book of Genesis.
Sure.
And yeah, that's the thing. It's like, that's what they say, and yet
there's a garden. I got it, dude.
There is a garden. The opening coda is it's revealed one line at a time, and there are five lines, so it takes forever. But it's, long ago, Ea, the creator, planted a great tree with seeds of pure light. Thus, Ara was born, a world of wonder and possibility. Mortals were meant to spread the light, but they were deceived. Darkness crept in. Chaos. God,
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, dude. I hate it when darkness.
I hate it when
in.
I get deceived.
Darkness crept in. Chaos followed. Paradise was lost, but not forgotten.
Oh, we're not forgetting. What is it? What's the MacGuffin? The MacGuffin's literally called the Seed of Eternity, and it's like, okay, man. I mean, you can call it whatever, I guess. They're just jam-packing a lot into a pilot. There's like multiple characters introduced. There's multiple fight scenes. I'd say it's like competently animated, but nothing that if you've seen like Avatar: The Last Airbender, which kind of I think mostly came out when I was in college, and I've seen some of it. Given that this is the same studio, it's kind of interesting because I think the fight scenes from Avatar were quite well animated, right? The frame rate goes up really high and all the motions look really fluid, right? And this has a bit of a cheaper budget for that, albeit it is a pilot, right? By the way, if you're not an animation head, that's where the money is. Anytime the animation starts looking really fluid and you get a lot of like fast movements and motion, right? That is where the money, that's the money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you've ever watched like anime, especially old anime that was produced on the cheap, a lot of people standing still, it's one shot, and then all you have to do is animate the mouth, and it's basically like three different or four different positions.
Yeah.
And depending on how you sequence those and how fast you sequence them, you can actually pretty convincingly make people look like they're saying the words that were recorded.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's really easy. And you're right. And that's not just in Japanese animation. That's in a lot of animation. So,
oh, absolutely.
For anybody who's watching Invincible on Prime Video right now, pay attention to the fight scenes as opposed to every other bit of footage in that show. And you'll see like, oh, this is where they put the money. Because that's what people want to see. They want to see the fight. They want to see a really cool looking fight.
And it's, you know, it's fine. I guess I think it's probably a little bit too much. I mean, like if I was going to watch this and it was a normal show, I'd be like, oh, this pilot episode's kind of a mess. Right.
It's a terrible pilot. It's a terrible pilot.
But you know, given that it's to sell this show, I guess whatever.
Angel right. Studios, if you're listening, which I kind of think that you are.
Somebody at Angel Studios is listening.
I just think that you're listening. Look, what you should have done with this show is you should have made 3 to 6 episodes. And you make an hour and a half long pilot, the 3 episodes, part 1, part 2, part 3. Similar to Samurai Jack, how Samurai Jack was 3 episodes for the pilot. Mm-hmm. And that's how you generate, because this... I don't know if I want to see more of this. I have more questions than answers, but they're not questions I'm burning to have answered, right? Like there wasn't enough to hook me in. If you give me 3 episodes so that I get invested and then that 3rd episode ends with a big cliffhanger, I'm like, well, I want to know if Gabriel found a seed. Like that's then that's how you generate money. For now, you just have something kind of clunky and weird, and I don't know if the kids are going to get that excited.
The thing that surprises me, they did the anime trope of having like a cute animal that you can, you know, turn into a cheap stuffy that you buy from like China, right? Something like that. That's like a trope from the 90s that I think basically has mostly died for the most part in like modern anime, but I could be wrong. Like one of the things that surprises me is pilots are usually pretty slow. Right. You usually get like one action scene because it's a pilot. They don't have a bunch of money. And that's why this seems kind of overstuffed. I was actually kind of disappointed. I thought there'd be like some really overt Christian themes, something I could like really dig my teeth into and be like, yeah, you know, this is a very, you know, thinly veiled thing, which I think actually works better, ironically, for like Christian media. It's way better when it's like almost cheesy how like thinly veiled of like a reskinned version of like an Old Testament story or something.
Oh, yeah. I remember you and I had a fucking blast watching the 2005 Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe movie.
Oh yeah.
We were cutting up in that theater, and not because we were clowning on it, we were just having so much fun.
And C.S. Lewis is basically that, right? I mean, you add in a bunch of other characters, but when it gets to, you know, Aslan, you're like, oh, this is not complex. This is not they did not change from the source material much on this one.
Yeah. You know? It's like, oh, Jesus. Aslan is Jesus. OK, he's got his divine music. All right. And
sacrificed himself for us because we did evil things.
That's right. Like, that's okay, right.
Got him.
That's right. That's Jesus. And who
getting
is
a message here?
Who is Mr. Tumnus? What is he supposed
to
be?
Who could it be? Somebody that sells a guy out. Yeah. I wonder. I've never read the Bible, but I'm picking up some serious Bible vibes here. I'm not big on Guardians. We'll see if more Gabriel or Michael and the Memnons or Gabriel and the Guardians come out. Maybe we'll watch them.
Yeah. So Guardian is like this. Gabriel is this celestial prince whose whole job is to just like keep an eye out for the seed from this fruit. And he lives in a space called Paradem, which is above Ara, aka Earth. There's so many questions. We don't really have any answers for you people because we weren't given anything. I can say that when Gabriel is excited, he goes, "Oh, Shabba!" Like,
Shabba. He's an old Jewish lady,
which is very weird that happened. And then he's got this friend named Dianel, who sounded like Christopher Lloyd a little bit. I want more of him. But yeah, I think you're right. I think future episodes of this are going to have Gabriel meeting other angels and they're like, you care about mortals. Gabriel, that's why you're the weak one. And then he'll save Earth, I guess.
I guess. Whatever. Yeah. The ground. Yeah. Our space prince lives on like a star question mark that is like a floating Garden of Eden in the sky, which reminds me of that Darren Aronofsky movie that
The Fountain? I
think everybody saw. Yeah, back in 2006, and like nobody ever talks about it anymore.
Right? I loved
it. Sphere with a tree in it, like floating through space. I remember really liking it. People were like, "This is for chicks," and it's like, "Okay, I guess."
No, it's good. Like,
whatever you say.
It's a good movie. I like.
Yeah, fucking Brad Pitt's in it, man.
He is.
Oh, I no, thought... wait.
No, it's Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. Fuck. I can't tell actors apart. I'm face blind, y'all.
Yeah, why don't you go?
Oh, my wife gets on me for that shit all the time.
Why don't you go listen to New Jobs, you friggin' dork?
Hugh Jackman and the guy from Gladiator and one of the other guys. I can never get their names right. They all somehow look the same, even though when I like put their pictures next to each other, they look nothing alike.
What guy from Gladiator? The main character, Russell Crowe.
Fucking Russell Crowe. Yeah.
You think Russell Crowe looks like Hugh Jackman?
He doesn't. That's the problem. In my brain, they're the same guy, even though they don't really look like that similar.
Oh. Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned The Fountain because I watched a different Aronofsky movie while I was in Vegas. I got to see his sci-fi movie that he made for The Sphere.
Oh, how was The Sphere, by the way?
Sucks. It's a real shame that it exists. It's it's something that, like, the moment they made it, it was immediately, like, 4 years obsolete.
Isn't it fucking weird in there?
It's very weird. It's very scary. It's very scary. I was just like, the moment I sat down, I was like, oh, the screen's too big. We're not meant to gaze upon screens this big. Man, yeah, it's folly. Like
it's like if they took an IMAX and made it like above and below your line of sight.
Oh yeah.
Right. So it's just like it's like information overload, right? Like being in there.
And you tell me if this is biblical. When I went in there, everybody was speaking the same language. And when we left, none of us could understand each other.
Got him, dude.
Who is that joke for? Is that for anybody?
For the Angel Studios staff that's listening in.
That's right.
They're going like, Babel. He's making an allusion to Babel. Oh, got him.
Yeah, it's like, gosh darn it. These guys are good.
These guys are good. Hey, employ us. Employ Connor. I have a job I don't
want. I would happily work for Angel Studios.
Connor would love to move to Utah and work with you guys.
Yeah, let's talk remote opportunities.
So anyway, that's Angel Studios. Connor, you're going to go see another Angel Studios production pretty soon.
That's right. This Friday.
Hopefully we'll get to talk about it.
I'm going to go see The King of Kings, which opens up this Friday.
Who are they referring to?
Yeah, I know, right? It's based on a Charles Dickens short story about the life and times of, well, I'll just call him Jesus of Nazareth in the spirit of academic rigor.
So we don't get confused.
Yeah. But this is crazy. For those, check out Alec, computer, pull up cast list for King of Kings, and you'll see it's a. Kind of jaw-dropping who they got for this. This is Angel Studios' plan. They acquire and distribute, and this is probably likely going to get a Best Animation nomination, or at least that's what they're going for.
Oh, you think Academy Awards next year? Yeah, I mean, like, when I heard that, like, Oscar Isaac was doing a voice and fucking Pierce Brosnan was doing a voice, I was like, wait, did Angel Studios make this, or did they acquire it? Right?
They acquired it.
That's kind of what I thought, right? Yeah. But you know, I mean, Christian films can be very good. Well, we rewatched what's the classic? The God of Egypt,
Prince of Egypt.
Yeah, we rewatched Prince of Egypt recently, and it's like it's great. It's a very like talk about fucking good animation.
There's a
couple movies like from before like the past 20 years that incorporate 3D in a way that's not like cheesy and doesn't look like shit. For those who know, like Aladdin did an amazing job. You can barely tell that there's 3D images in it. They really haven't aged poorly at all from the Cave of Wonders sequence. And then and Prince of Egypt does it with like, I don't know, there's a pretty stupid There's a set of scenes that are premised on the fact that they built a giant dam of sand. And then, you know, famously, they break this dam and the sand runs everywhere. And they use 3D animation to do it. I think there's a storm that's 3D. It all looks pretty damn good.
And right?
Even for 2025.
It also won an Academy Award, Prince of Egypt, for the song When You Believe. This is Angel Studios' strategy. I told y'all on an earlier episode, I see an Oscar nomination in their future. I imagine a best original song or best animated feature in one of these kind of movies that's going to get him an Oscar nomination. Will that lead to success? Who knows?
You know what's funny too? Like King of Kings is another like made and animated in Korea film, right? Because those guys are just on top of like anime. I mean, that's look, anime heads out there, weebs out there. They're subbing a tremendous amount of their stock animation to Korea already, right? These guys are kind of already the kings of like animation, unless you're talking about very particular niche studios, right, in Japan. So it's not surprising to see them.
Yep. We'll see if there's any more. I don't know if Gabriel and the Guardians will get picked up. So far, not a single Angel Studios show has been picked up beyond the Tuttle Twins, which I am making my way through. Sucks. but yeah, we'll see if there's more. We'll definitely be seeing more pilots. We'll be seeing so many friggin' pilots from these people. And yeah, next week we'll be talking about maybe the Alex Jones thing. Maybe we'll be talking about King of Kings. Who knows?
Okay. Is there something to be said about the fact that, like, speaking of Tuttle Twins, like, there's... Like Angel, somebody made a decision over there that they're fine with like out and out kind of like political statements in a children's TV show that are libertarian, but they pull their punches with like religious themes in a lot of these shows, right? The ones that are not acquired that aren't specifically about isn't that kind of odd? I don't know.
It's odd, but it's also like part of the plan. So Angel Studios does not consider themselves a Christian streaming service. They, in their mission statement, they are all about making movies that bring light. What does that mean? I don't know.
It means, I guess, it's Christian themed in a way. If you're looking for that, it's Christian themed, but otherwise you wouldn't know and you certainly wouldn't be offended.
Yeah,
right?
It's family kind of friendly. It's uplifting. It makes you feel good. And they happen to be Christian libertarians. The thing that I'm really interested in, and keep an eye out for some writings from me by the end of 2025, I'll have at least something written about how the Tuttle Twin books, the original books, are quite toothless but informative about libertarian economic policies and foreign policies. But the cartoon kind of leans into that, like, trigger to libs kind of approach to politics, which is very interesting. So that begs the question, what is happening in the Angel Studios production room that says we need to be a little bit meaner than these books?
Yeah, it's odd because I haven't seen any of the literature behind it, but I can tell you that the clips I've seen of Tuttle Twins are almost spiteful, right? They're like, they are very accusatory and very mean about like, the government is stealing your money. Kids, the government steals your money. And they're like, what, taxes? They just take your money? Boo! Oh my God.
I should point out now, an original character in the cartoon is their grandmother, who's a Cuban expat.
Yes.
keep in mind that they were white in the original books, but now they're Cuban. And her catchphrase is, also voiced by a man, oddly, but her catchphrase is, we have places to go, people to see, communists to offend.
Oh Lord! Yeah. Do you know anything about Ripa Send? This drop shipping company that's this little company is responsible for the Gabriel and the Guardians manga or whatever, the prequel comic book.
Oh right? Yeah, I'm looking at it now on the Angels. I can get a 25% off code on top of my discounted. Because I'm a Guild premium member, I already get 20%
off. Of course, that's true.
I get 40% off. Wow, that's really
nice. Really paying off.
It is. It is.
Okay, I don't know if I have much more to say about Gabriel and the Guardians or Angel Studios or Trump or Studio Ghibli or What else we got going on? Let's check the news real quick.
All right, we'll do one quick little news.
I think we're done.
We're done. All right.
What? Cuba's trending. I don't want to know why. Wait, I actually probably do want to know why. Surely we're not invading Cuba. It's always a possibility, brother.
Oh my god.
Shine Bomb saying some nice stuff. Medicaid trending. That's not good. I don't know if you've experienced this, but in like the past 2 weeks, since the tariff stuff, I mean, basically since the Trump admin got in, but like especially the past couple weeks, couple months, the trending tab on Twitter, just like every time I see something, every time I see something political on there, I'm just like, oh no, right? So if like Medicare is trending, I'm like, are they cutting Medicaid? Like, are they cutting Medicare? Like, what's going on, you know?
Yeah, and then every now and then you'll see like Nintendo Direct Switch 2, and I'm like, click.
Yeah, what's going on with the Switch 2? It's just too expensive. Everybody's mad.
Dude, what the fuck ever? My PlayStation 5, that cost me nearly $700, and people want to complain about a $450. No. I don't care. People saying that, like, the portability of the Switch. I'm getting worked up. I think the Nintendo Switch. I think the Nintendo Switch is the best system ever made. Is it the best in terms of performance? No. Obviously, it's got some frame rate issues. But it's awesome that you can take it with you anywhere. You can take it on a plane. I love Nintendo games. So if people want to complain about the price of everything, keep in mind, Alec, do you know how much Donkey Kong Country cost when it came out on Super Nintendo?
Oh, no.
$80.
$80?
Adjusted for adjusted for inflation.
Nintendo.
The Super Nintendo, $80.
No way.
Because cartridges were more expensive to make than discs or mini cartridges. And do you want to know, adjusted for inflation, how much Donkey Kong Country would cost today?
$120.
$1,000,000,000.
We have to leave this whole segment in. I have to say, dude, for what it is, the Switch, just as like, because I'm a boomer, right? So I only use it to emulate NES, SNES, and Nintendo 64 games. That's all I ever use it for. I haven't played fucking Twilight Princess, whatever the fucking new Zelda. I'm not playing that shit, right?
Yeah.
When my wife told me what the Switch cost, I was like, that doesn't even make sense. How could they make it? She was like, I think we paid like $250 for it, and then like some more for like the controllers and shit. But I was like astounded. I was like, how can it cost that much?
Oh yeah,
how can it cost that little, right?
I think it's a very affordable console, and I think people are just complaining. That's just me. People just want to complain,
and it's fucking Nintendo. They're gonna buy it anyway. Stop complaining, you fucking slop fiends.
Oh yeah, I already signed up for the pre-order. You could have told me. Shigeru Miyamoto could have been like, this is going to cost $2,000. I'm like, well, all right, looks like I'm down $2,000.
You have to sign a contract to work in like the steel mines in Japan for like a year. You're like,
I just show up and I'm like, is Mario here?
you're in overalls with the like Mario hat on. Bernie fucking cosplayed as Luigi. You just have that get up on.
That's so funny.
Just 2,000 guys that look like you all in Luigi outfits walking into like a deep pit mine in Japan.
Yeah. When do we get a lunch break? Immediately decked in the face by a guard yelling at me in Japanese. I have no idea what he's saying.
It's a World War II internment camp. It's Bridge Over the River Kwai. They're making you build a bridge in China. Okay, all right.
Oh no, if I don't make this bridge, I'm gonna be forced to kill myself. Mamma mia. All right, everybody. That about does it for this week's episode of Propaganda. Tune in next week where we're going to be talking about Alex Jones or More Angel Studios. Any parting words?
If you have ever seen Bridge Over the River Kwai, you know what character I'm imagining right now.
All right.
I love you guys. It's nice to be back. It's nice to be making episodes.
Yes, it is.
Good luck. Hope we're still around. Any one of these weeks could be the last week for us and America and all that shit. But
that's right. So keep your phones charged and keep your RSS feeds updating, so at least you can listen to us when everything goes to hell. As always, Propagandos Excelsior, and keep your eyes on the skies.
Bye.